Sorry, Ramesh, I've got to put on the sound. I put on the recording and I'll put on whatever you are. Anyway, fine. So we're on Reish Ayin Dalet. Give me a second. We're starting out. Okay. B'li l'chmiz l'chesvore es ha-neshoma. Because you need to know this neshoma that you're dealing with a koshboch of great to get. V'hu ze asher notobo es ha-tevim v'es ha-dechofim. And Hashem created him with his nature, with his teva, with his pulls and struggles and challenges. V'hu ze shezimen l'faneya es ha-nishyoynois. The bad friends there, Hashem's the one that brought the influences, the good things that call a form of Suda, like we saw yesterday. A form of Suda Mishesh in my braces. But Dua Velama Ainza is gonna iskan askinu. That's not our business. Say Badi Kim Shay Drachmana Lama. That's a Kosh Bohu, that's what he does. Amnam. He came just in time. Hoyrim Elu Ainim Paturim Velo Klum. These parents aren't potter without anything. On the one hand, you have to know, shall call me Hashem. This child is Hashem's child. He gave it to you as a pekod, and you have to do your best. The nature of this child, who he is, where is his pullings, his tuggings, his struggles, in his soin, we have no way of understanding that he's Gilgulim, what he needs to come in this world to do, what his tachlis is. We have no idea. That's none of our business. But we're not potter. They're directly connected to the spiritual destruction that took place by their son. It's not always like this, but it can be like this. The reason why this child landed up in your house is because the same reason as the child landed up in the house and drowned in their swimming pool is because they were negligent in not closing the gate. That's why this child rolled up to their front door. Yeah, the parents were negligent or whatever in certain aspect of chinuch or whatever, shalom bayis, whatever the nakud is. And therefore, this child rolled over to them so that they could deal with this child, because that's Hashem's cheshbonus as well. Ezoy salem letaken, that you have to repair. Al Yisrael shuzu alem leshuv betshuva. On this negligence, you have to be chayzer betshuva. Ach yachad im zois ein ze nachon lachshuv ki ilu ani kakalti b'moye yoda es b'ni. But you can't think, because it's not correct to think like that, that with my hands, I'm messed up this child. Kilo ani arasti oto. I'm the one that was horrible. I'm the one that he went to the derech because of me. Lo zu hashkafas ha-Torah. That's not correct. Not correct. How you deal with this in practical is not so poshut. Lo poshut bichlal. You can have the theory, and the theory itself is contradictory a little bit, and then you have to deal with emotions and the guilt and the misoin mod gadol. But you have to remember, this child was going to happen before. He has his nisoinus, and you don't know why or where or how. And to the extent that you can detach yourself from feelings of embarrassment and of guilt, then you can deal with the child much better. Then you can deal with this child much better. There you break those chains of guilt and of blaming yourself and of embarrassment. Now you're freed up to do what's best for the child. Hashem gave me this child. Not my problem. If it was the neighbor's child, I'd be very proud to be dealing with this problem. And therefore now I'm freed up to deal with this child like he's the neighbor's child. Calls man, he's my child. The burden's too big. You can't deal with him. You get angry with him, you feel guilty, you throw him out the house, you fight with him, you can't live like that. There's a law for sure.
The problem is the unbearant man. That means what the other people say. They say, oh, and what children you have is very good. Oh, the opposite, that means you have a reaction of the society.
That's the busha.
Yeah.
That's the busha. When your son doesn't come to daven and everyone else's kids are in davening, what problem? You feel embarrassed. Should the child be in davening or not? It's not the question. You made a clear cheshbon that because otherwise I'm embarrassed. You can't raise children like that. That's the chulbet. That's why you have to know that he's not your child. If you were fostering or adopted the next door neighbor's child and he didn't come to davening, you wouldn't be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Why? Because anyway, I'm a big tzaddik and I'm looking after the neighbor's child. It doesn't reflect badly on me. That's the problem. It reflects badly on you. When you can break those chains, when you can break that chain of not being worried about how he reflects on you or she reflects on you, then you've succeeded. Then you can love the child unconditionally, because that's what you have to do. Unconditional love. Hashem loves us unconditionally. He puts up with a lot of stuff, and he still loves us and takes care of us. So when you're not embarrassed and feeling guilty by what your child's doing, then you can give the child the best service you can. You mushukhra, you feed up the child the best service you can. As in Nisoyin Gadol, it's not possible. So I don't think this is a walk in the park. This is tough stuff, tough stuff.
Other people also to understand that you have a problem.
No, they don't.
They don't?
Not from our perspective, they can do what they want. I'll tell you why. Because like, in my world, there aren't any other people. In my world, there's a Hashem. No, in my world, there's me and Hashem. There is no other people. That's what Ein Oid Milvado means. Ein Oid Milvado means there is nothing in the world other than Hashem and me. That means if these people don't understand, and that's what's causing me tzad, that's also from Hashem. They're gamni soin from Hashem, and it's also meduyak bidyuk. That guy's going to have to give tshuva. He's going to have to give the cheshbon and do tshuva because he wasn't gecheshbon, he wasn't thinking, and he was being cruel. You know, when people are sitting around at a wedding, all these women are sitting around all talking about their babies, and there's a woman there who hasn't had a baby for 10 years, right? So she has to know that's Hashem. It's not their problem. That's her problem. She has to deal with Hashem. They have to know that they better do tshuva because otherwise they're in a lot of trouble. But they're not my problem, those other people. You're right. You're 100% right. From their perspective, which means from up there, but from our perspective, they don't exist. They're not that Mazik Kashu alone. That's Hashem. This next door neighbor who's looking at me funny and making stupid comments or whatever about my son and whatever, that's also from Hashem. That Yusurim comes also with Dikduk from Hashem. Otherwise the whole system here doesn't work. That's Pshatin Einod Milvadoi. That's exactly what it means. That's why it's not so partial, because how do you get rid of those feelings? How do you this next door? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he was the Rav in Toronto, so in the community, he was the Rav of the minhag was for girls not to ride bicycles. It used to be posh, but you know, it's not so posh. Girls shouldn't ride bicycles. It used to be a double posh. It's a bit movable. Anyway, he lived in a community of girls and ride bicycles. He bought his daughter's bicycles. He was the Rav. So you have to know how to take the story carefully. So somebody once asked him, I don't understand. How could you buy your daughter's bicycles? You know the minhag for girls not to ride bicycles or whatever. He said, I couldn't stop my daughters doing something that I so badly wanted to do when I was young and never had an opportunity to do. When I was a youngster, I really wanted a bicycle. I don't know why I couldn't have a bicycle, whatever, in Europe, whatever. They weren't bicycles, they couldn't afford it, they faced it. He said, I couldn't stop my kids doing something that I really wanted to do and hadn't had an opportunity to do. Couldn't say. That means he wanted to say yes, like we always want to say yes, no matter what the child wants. He couldn't find a reason to say no, basically. That was his question. So this person said to me, what's get the volts up? The volt, what do people say? He said, sometimes you have to learn to whistle to the world. You have to do what you have to do, because that's what's right, and the world can do what the world does. No man, you're not. That was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was an Oyv Yisrael, and Yish Emes Adasof. There was no trick him there. That's what he said, that's what he meant. Sometimes you have to. You do what's best for your children, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave these children. You have to do what's best for them. He felt that this was the best thing for his children. Ah, what do people say? Dogs bark. What do you want me to do?
You can do that when you're Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky to the world.
No, not so possible. If you're the Rav of a community, do that, you're going to take, whoa. If you borrow Betchik, no one cares if you're not. So the one, marry your daughter. Not gonna marry them anyway, because you're about two of them. You know what I'm saying? They're not gonna talk to you anyway. So what are you worried about? No, when you're Roman premiers, don't talk about shit. But once again, I'm trying to take the principle from this. Rabban Kamenetsky, he wanted to give his children what he wanted to give them. He felt that was the best thing to do. Now, what does the world think? Roman, you're not what the world thinks. You're gonna run around worrying about what the world thinks, you'll never get anywhere. I don't do anything because I want people to think anything. I do what I have to do because that's what Akadosh. No, I want Akadosh Baruch Hu to think. I want to do what Akadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. Once again, in practical, you're right, we have this problem. Dr. Shmuel said, we are a little bit embarrassed and worried what the neighbors are going to say, da 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 da. At the end of the day, you have to do what you're doing because that's what Akadosh Baruch Hu told you what you're doing. Because the neighbors and the peer pressure and whatever is what's telling you. Huh? Because Hashem told you to do that, for sure, but not because I'm worried about what he'll think, I'm worried about what Hashem will think. Hashem told me, don't play music loud at night because you're disturbing your neighbors. I look partly the neighbors. No, you have to care about your neighbors. But I'm not going to do something that's bad for my child, which the Torah told me I'm not going to do because I'm embarrassed. Yeah, you're doing the wrong thing. You're forcing your child to come to davening when Hilchos Chinuch tells you it's better that he's playing outside, and you force him to come to davening because you're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about, because you're worrying about what the world thinks. The best thing for my children to have a bicycle is to have a bicycle. Then my children have a bicycle. The neighbors are going to start chepering. Chepper. We're going to do something awesome. Something awesome.
That's not a minag
that has the clearest of a locker. Or Raya with Yaakov Kamenetsky bought his daughter's bicycle. So he was a Pesach Godel of Yaakov Kamenetsky. I'm just saying, you have to know. Tafkid Noisav Mutul Lahoirim. Elo, there's another purpose that there's another job that these parents have been given. Aleim Nishtatev Betzara Shechina. This I heard from the Mashgiach, from the Tzia Solomon. This is the Nakuda of all the Nakudas in Chinuch. You have to Mishtatev Betzara Shechina. Aleim Nidas, Shim Tzah Zeh Menadet Sheina Meineyem, Umashbi Seh Simchoso, they need to know this Tzah of this child. Keep them awake at night. And he's causing their levels of Simcha not to be what they should be. How much greater is the Tzara Shechina? We'll come back to this now. We'll deal with this now. I've been working on this for years, and I think I have a bit of a maybe, would lie, a bit of a Pesach to understanding this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu zimun leyodem es avsharut lechush ma'at b'tzara shechina kedoy she'ashem yitgoyleles ba'afa meroiv yogun v'tzar. Hashem is giving us an opportunity to feel a little bit the unbelievable tzar that the Shechina has because of what's going on. Kashe anu b'naya hayakorim aneni oisim ezrotzen avinu shebashamayim. Because we, his children, are not doing what he wants. But you feel pain and tzar when your child's not doing what you want. So how much pain and suffering is Hashem going through? Look at all these children off the dera. V'chein kashem atzman yitiv ezrotzen, when they themselves improve their ways. When you suddenly realize how much tzabak with nefesh, your children not doing what you want causes you. You suddenly realize how much tzabak with nefesh you're causing the shechina. But you stop doing it because you don't want to cause that pain. Then Hashem, mida keneged mida, has enormous rachamim on you. And then Hashem falls down a purifying ruach, spirit, on the children. And they start coming back. You see it. They suddenly start coming back. Nothing you can tell them. There's nothing you can argue with them. You have to do tshuva yourself. You have to go and sort out your relationship with your father in heaven. And then automatically your children's relationship with you will sort itself out. That's what he's saying here. Tzara Shechina, Baruch, I'm going to say what Baruch would have said had I given him a chance to say it. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's very nice. The Tzara Shechina, Mazak Yeshua Lai, you know, it's like Shay, the poor Shechina, you know, the creator of the universe is in Tzara, like, you know, so, Mazak. Yeah. Fine. You know, look, I've dropped Kamenetsky beside that. Was it? How do you deal with Tzara Shechina? I heard this from the Mashgiach many years ago. He said, if we would feel the Tzara Shechina, children would never have to go to the river. He said two things, actually. If we would say Birkas HaTorah properly, no one would ever go off the derech. We would say birkas haTorah with proper kavana, no one would ever go off the derech. And if we would feel the tzar hashchina, no one would ever go off the derech. What's pshat? How do you feel the tzar hashchina? It's impossible. What do you mean the tzar hashchina? No way of relating to that. The infinite creator of the universe is his tzar. Like, I wish I had your problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. We have no way. We don't know what that means. We don't know what that means. Can't understand. What do you have to do? Nase v'nishma. You have to nase. Nase. You have to imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like you as a father. And the pain you feel, that's what he feels. That sounds a bit dimyoni, but imagine, you know, but that's what you have to do. That's the Baalei Musa said, that's what you have to do. You have to use that to understand Hashem. Ah, will you ever come to understand Sarah Shechina? Yeah, Nase v'nishma. You'll start doing it. You'll start relating to Hashem in human terms, kviyachol, kviyachol. And you'll start thinking about Hashem like that. And you'll start imagining Hashem like that. Eventually, you'll start feeling the tzar hashchina. Chilasav avoyde sefer begmul. You get a little bit of a present. You start getting pinprick insights into it. When you're standing in shachris, I'm just using this example, and you told your kid to come by Baruch Hu, and Baruch Hu's been and gone, and he's still not there. The shtender's empty, and you feel all that stuff inside. So think to yourself, one second, yesterday when I came late to davening, how was Hashem feeling? Was feeling like this. And get rid of those, drive those ridiculous thoughts out of your brain and say, no, the kuli yitzara. No, feel that, that's what Hashem felt. And you do that, and slowly, you start feeling the tzar hashchina. And then you think twice before you do something you shouldn't do because you don't want to cause Hashem the pain that your kids are causing you. That's what the Mashgiach said. He said, the reason why kids go off the derech is to give us an opportunity to get in touch with the Kodesh Baruch at this level. Rav Matisyahu Solomon, the Mashgiach Hador. You got to feel the tzar hashchina. That's the reason he said for kids going off the derech. No one knows what the reason why certain kids go off the derech. This kid went off the derech. You know why? We don't know. There's no one reason why kids go off the derech. Back and forth, you can do all your studies and statistics. You won't find the reason. He said, this is the reason. If you're looking for one reason, at the core and the center of every kid that ever went off the derech, it's because we don't feel the tzar hashchina. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you an opportunity to feel the tzar hashchina. So while you're lying awake at night, the kid's fast asleep, by the way. That's between little kids and big kids. Little kids, if they want you to wake up, they have to wake up first. But little kids sleeping, you don't wake up. No, you don't need to sleep when little kids sleep. Big kids can be fast asleep and still keep you awake. Atana, that's a difference between Gidol Bonim and Sal Gidol Bonim. Sal Gidol Bonim is they sleeping, you're awake. That's terrible. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So when you're lying awake and you can't sleep because of Tzar Gidol Bonim or Gidol Bonim or Remember Kodesh Baruch Hu also can't sleep because of Tzar Gidol Bonim.
And that's
for sure, for sure. Yeah. No, not saying not. But he uses his free will in a way that causes me tzar. I'm using my free will in a way that causes Kodesh Baruch Hu tzar.
Example of Yitzchak with Yaakov and Esav.
Yitzchak had tzar. He had tzar from that, and he used that tzar to get closer to Hashem.
But Esav, we go out of the terrain.
Uh-huh. And Yitzchak had tzar.
Yeah.
And that tzar he used to get closer to Hashem.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to use the tzar that we have in our Gidol Bonim, or whatever area it is. We use that to get closer to Hashem by feeling his tzar.
Because I want to understand, if we have we feel the tzar, the children will not go out of the derech. What you say, or
yeah,
if we would feel the tzar hashchina,
yeah,
then there would be no reason for children to go off the derech because we're doing what we're supposed to do. If the reason why a child goes off the derech, one of the reasons, this is not the whole concept picture. Nothing ever is. This is picture's too big. I'm saying. One of the main themes that we're dealing with is that if a child goes off the derech, it's because I don't feel the tzar hashchina. Hashem wants me to feel the tzar hashchina. So it gives me a dugma of what that feels like. When I start feeling the tzar hashchina and I start having rachamim on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he has rachamim on me and the child will be chayzer b'tshuva. Ah, what about bechira? Bechira is not in every area. The kids going off today don't have bechira. I'm telling you now that Gershon said this, I'm not saying this. Most kids going off to Derech today have nothing to do with Bechira. No. Kiru Salev. And Ka, the Turuf Adas, there's Bulbul Adas, there's confusion, they don't feel it, there's no warmth. They're not going off the Derech because they sat here and had no deal. Should I keep Shabbos? Should I keep Shabbos? There's a big mistake. No, that's not what's going on. There's nothing to do with Bechira. Regression said there's a Ruach Shtus that comes into the child. There's a Ruach Shtus in the door, the whole generation. There's a Ruach Shtus Chadash in the world at the moment. Shouldn't don't go to there because of Bechira. There may be rare exceptions of a guy who really knows what he's doing and he made a Bechira decision and he left on a. Okay, no, for sure, there's Bechira. But the kids you see going off the Derech today, they don't know why they're going off the Derech. They're cold, they hurt, they're in pain, they feel betrayed, they don't know, they don't connect. And then shum chayshik in ruchnias. They don't have any taste of ruchnias.
They think it's better out of the way.
It could be they're right. Yeah. I don't know if they think, but they just they're cold. They're it's called kiridus. That's Amalek. Start one, I told you. I don't know if you need a shiva gatana, shiva gadayla, that's a big story. I'm going through that ordeal at the moment. I don't know. I'm trying to save the one that's happening, whatever. Anyway. Starts at home. There's all the issues. Starts at home. No, I'm saying,
don't put the world, responsibility back on me.
In the world of Ishtadlis, for sure, we have to do everything. But at the end of the day, you have to know. At the end of the day, we have to know there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we have to use every Nisoin and every opportunity to use that to do Tshuva to come closer to Hashem. Whether it's someone else's kids or your kids. Why do you have to be? Why is that when your kid goes off the Derech and wakes you up? What about the neighbor's kids? What about Maisim and Eshel Chaveiro? But today, if you speak to these kids, they're going to the Derech because they have some Bechira or whatever. He's learning, he doesn't see the relevance of this in his life. He doesn't have a tambeli mood. He doesn't have a cheshet. He davens about. He doesn't connect. He doesn't feel any warmth. He doesn't feel any. So he goes to look for. Then he's got a friend who's got a phone, and then the friend shows him his phone, and then like, and then it's Gilgul. He's not sitting there like, wow, I'm gonna do this. Perhaps
it's tell
him about the Shabbos and wonderful Shabbos or whatever. Ulomaki should say. He doesn't feel it. Or there's no warmth in the home or whatever. Or there's emotional bias. Or there's a problem child in the house and he takes up all the attention and he doesn't get the attention he needs. Or there's a mon sibot, but it's not Bechira. These kids don't have Bechira. Talk to them, you'll see. They're not about Bechira. No. They just want someone to love them. They want someone to care for them. They want someone to be there for them. Unconditional love. There's a Mashem Rutsim at all. Yeah. Whatever. You had a negative experience in Cheder, whatever. It doesn't take a lot. Kids don't bounce back. I bounce back. When I was in school, I got whipped, I got beaten, I got unfairly treated and whatever. No man, you're not here. I had a laugh to carry on with, you know. They're a bunch of idiots and I'm getting on with my life. You know, you got hit. You win a few, lose a few. There were plenty of times I didn't get caught and didn't get hit. So, yeah, because I'm there, you know. It was a different world. Today, you hit the child, you've lost the child, he's gone. Come back. You can hurt him in other ways. He can't. Kulu love, kulu ava. I heard an interview of the Gershon. I mean, it's posh. For me, today, it's a double posh. I was saying this. How many years ago you were saying this? Of Yerachmiel. 20 years ago, I was saying this. Double posh. It's not easy to do, by the way, as a parent. Well, God, you have a child who doesn't dress properly. You have a girl who doesn't dress seriously. So she wants you to go shopping with her. She wants you to go with shopping to pay for those clothes. What do you do? You go and you pay for them. Ah, it's against everything that we were ever taught, everything we ever understood. What else are you going to do? That's the way to get them back. That's the only thing that works. go with them and go buy the clothes. Yeah, that's what the God Lador said. But complaints to him. But Rav Aaron Leib said it before that. Partial. She wants to buy these clothes, whatever, which are mamas. Every is in the Torah. Are you allowed to? He said, you're not allowed to. You have to. Go argue with him.
Not her make her money.
It's not posher to you. She's 14 years old. What do you want her to do? Go stand on the street corner? Babysit. Yeah, she's interested in babysitting. And who's going to hire her as a babysitter?
Well, now she's wearing those
clothes. Nachon. So what do you want her to do? You're the only place where she can get the unconditional love she needs, the respect she needs. Who else is going to give it to her? Who else is going to give it to her? The Menahelet of the Beis Yaakov? Where else is she going to get that from? Where is she going to learn about true Yiddish love from? Only at home. Nochon. It's not contrary to Torah, because the God of the Lord tells you that's what you have to do. That is Torah. Nochon. But the God of the Lord tells you that is Torah. Now, when you go down to the shop and you put the money on the table,
But in that respect,
I don't know. You think Rav Gershon doesn't know that? You think Rav Aaron Leib didn't know about Mishalim? No, where's the Mishal? First of all, Mishal is not supposed to be Hilchus, not Titan Mishal. Also, says it's Gedarim and whatever. There's no Mishal. I have to do what I have to do to save my child.
I understand, but look, you're exposing.
She's going to, first of all, the clothes she's wearing now are fine, usually not. Second of all, if you don't do it, she'll find some other way to get that money and go buy them. So what? So you're not solving any problem. You're not stopping the mikshul. When she walks down the street and she causes problems in Achinam, we're aware of all those a lot, for sure. But she's going to do it anyway. So find some Arab boyfriend who will take care of her, give her the money she wants. Go down here to the big and go have a look. How many girls in this town have Arab boyfriends? Let's find out how, what the numbers are. It's not 5 or 10, I promise you. And it's not 15 or 20. Go ask Hakshiv and go ask these people if they're prepared to admit the truth. What's going on out there? Oh, this is being recorded. Okay, I don't mind. Sometimes you have to whistle to the world. We're not even connected for some reason. Oh, this, okay, Hashem didn't want this to be recorded. We don't have Klitaya. There's no Klitaya.
Why do you need Klitaya to record it?
No, it's on Zoom. People that come, what's his name, and actually sits at a tiny on Zoom. So while I'm doing the frame, I record it.